beautiful day yesterday. Last night, my wife and I sat out. They've been challenging us in this new series to spend some time just thinking and meditating on the Lord. And last night, about 10 o'clock, we sat out around our little chimney out on our back porch, and it was just so incredible. Just talking about the Lord, all of His blessings. I love that scripture, meditate day and night. Meditate on my word. I want to breathe it in. 2 Timothy talks about the word is for instruction and reproof and for doctrine. And you can look at the word, some of that sentence, and if you look at different variations of that or different interpretations, it talks about to breathe in the word of God. I just want to encourage you over this next week as you begin to study and you begin to pray and you go through your devotions. When you read the word, breathe it in, because God's breathing it out. I know it may sound silly, but it's like in the beginning, God breathes out and we breathe it in. Was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's so great to have brother and sister staring here. It's been 32 years since they were last here. So either they have a long cycle between deputations, but it's so great to have them here today. And they're going to come and they're going to share their burden for the country of Lebanon, the Middle East, the area that they serve. And then we'll be back to help them raise some funds. But God bless you, brother. Come and speak to us this morning.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank the Lord. At this time, I'm going to have my wife to greet you. She is the singer of the family. So she's going to do the singing, and I'll stick with preaching.
Praise the Lord, everyone. You may be seated. We're here to help to transfer some of our burden to you. Often when people visit the Middle East, we ask them, how would you tell North America about this? And the answer is usually, you can't. So I know that there are many things that we cannot explain or just seem difficult, but we know that the Spirit of God is the one who can do everything. So we're here to talk to you about 22 Arabic-speaking nations. It's similar in size to the United States of America in landmass and also in population, about 300 to 350 million people. The need that existed when we first went to the Middle East was we were just three missionary families. So imagine three pastors trying to evangelize an area and a population similar to the United States of America. God has been moving things. Labors have been sent. So now we're at about 12, I think it is. So think of your pastor and 11 other preachers you know, not only trying to evangelize the entire state of Wisconsin, but the entire United States of America. The Bible says that how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall he preach except he be sent? So that is part of why we are here, is to get the job done. We cannot get jobs and receive incomes in the Middle East where we are. I know that's true of many parts of the world where missionaries are. So the sending part is part of the partnership with the North American church. And I also want to give you an idea about Arabic. Arabic is called the heavenly language because it'll take you an eternity to learn. It's maybe you've heard that one before. But anyway, it is considered the second most difficult language in the world. But it's from the ancient language of Aramaic, which is what Jesus spoke. You have several references in the scripture to that language directly. But we're going to hear a little bit of that in just a minute. But just think about the incident there in the book of Acts where Paul and Silas were released from the prison because they were singing and praising God. And there was a miraculous angelic intervention. But the one thing we must always remember is that no matter all of the wonderful verified miracles you'll be hearing today, the greatest miracle is salvation. That's repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Lord gives the utterance. So this is the greatest miracle. But everything also that you will be seeing is because he did it. So he deserves the glory. And I think you all know the song, You Deserve the Glory. So we're going to start off in English all together. And then I will switch into Arabic. Just keep right on singing in English and keep your ear open. And think about the miracle that happened there in the book of Acts. And the miracles that are going to happen here today, even in this congregation, by his power. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I magnify your name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I magnify your name. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Hadika kule meshti.
We have been missionaries to the Middle East since 1934. We started in the country of Jordan. At that time, we were furlough replacements for Gary and Linda Reed, the pioneer missionaries. During our time there, we had seen many people baptized, many people receive the Holy Ghost. Some of these people that were baptized so many years ago are still serving the Lord. There was one woman from Sri Lanka that came, got the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. When she went back to Sri Lanka, there was no United Pentecostal Church in her village. So she helped start the very first United Pentecostal Church. Now there are several churches in her area, and she is responsible for the ladies' ministry. There was a man from the Philippines that we baptized. When he went back to the Philippines, he worked at the headquarters there for the United Pentecostal Church. Right now, he is pastoring a United Pentecostal Church that he started. There were two women that we studied Arabic with. Both were from the UK, both with the first name of Julie. Both got the Holy Ghost, both baptized in Jesus' name. They're back in the UK, and they are still serving the Lord in United Pentecostal churches there in the UK. And there are many other testimonies of people that came into church many years ago and still serving the Lord. 1989, we relocated to the very beautiful island of Cyprus to minister. While we were there, we worked with Lebanese refugees. We worked with Cypriots. We taught on British military bases and even had opportunities to minister to missionaries there on the island of Cyprus. And later, we will give some of those testimonies. 1992, we moved into Lebanon, pioneering the first United Pentecostal Church. This is a cedar of Lebanon, which is the symbol of this country. Now, Lebanon is very special to me. My mother's parents both were born in the country of Lebanon. They were born here in the Bekaa Valley, came to the United States many years ago. When we go from the Bekaa Valley up to Mount Lebanon, a mountain range that stretches from the north to the south of this country, and then from this mountain range down to the Mediterranean Sea, truly, Lebanon is a very beautiful and majestic country. Pioneering the work in 1992, Lebanon has a great history of more than 7,000 years. This is Baalbek, the city of the sun. My grandfather was born about a 15-20 minute drive from these ruins. Baalbek has the largest building blocks in the entire world. The second largest building blocks in the entire world are found in the Great Pyramid of Egypt. And they use very small building blocks of 200 tons. But here in Baalbek, this one block is 1,200 tons still in the quarry. Here there are three building blocks. Each building block is 830 tons apiece. They drag them from the quarry to on site and put them up 24 feet off the ground, put them into place. And 2,000 years later, they are still in place. Can you imagine 830 tons apiece? History tells us that it took about 30,000 workers to move one block and to put it into its place. If today we were to move a block, 830 tons, all engineers will say it is impossible. But 2,000 years ago, 30,000 workers united. They picked up the rope and they started pulling. And the impossible became the possible. I wonder what will happen if in church we were this united to pick up the rope and to pull for the kingdom of God. Let us remember, when we unite, God is with us. When we are pulling for the kingdom of God, the Lord stands before us to pave the way. He is behind us to make sure we're okay. And He stands to our left and He stands to our right. Every step of the way, God is with us. But what God needs is a united people with a burden. The impossible will become possible. Madison is not impossible to reach because souls are being reached in this community. But there is more work that needs to be done. So as we unite, God's kingdom is being built. Jebel Biblos is the oldest continuously inhabited city in the entire world. It has two names. Biblos comes from the very first phonetic alphabet that was created here in Jebel. This was created later. It was used by the Greeks. All phonetic alphabets came from this alphabet, 22 characters. On our display table, you can see these 22 letters. And then after the Greeks adapted it, they called this city Biblos, which is Greek meaning books. This is the city of the books. The same word is used for Bible. And the reason for that, they tell us that the New Testament was compiled in this city. This is the city of the books. As I told you, this is the oldest continuously inhabited city in the entire world. This is Jebel Biblos today. Right now, we just step back 1,000 years to the age of the Crusaders. And right now, we just step back 2,000 years to the age where the Lord Jesus Christ walked on this world. Built by the Romans 2,000 years ago. And as you can see, some of the ruins still stand today. These ruins go from the Greeks 2,300 years ago. Right now, this is the Temple of El. This is 4,000 years old. This literally goes back to the days of Abraham. During the days of Abraham, this city was called Gabal, which means the Mount of Baal. But an army came in here. They tore down the temple of Baal and they put up the temple of El. The name of the city was changed from Gabal to Jebel, from the Mount of Baal to the Mount of El. This is the God of Abraham that they worshiped 4,000 years ago. And God's name was placed upon the city 4,000 years ago. When they first started excavating these ruins, they tried to find out what deity was worshipped, and they could not find out for many years because they found no statues and no idols. And then they came to the understanding that this is the God El that Abraham worshipped. They worshipped God in the city 4,000 years ago in spirit and in truth. Prophecy. Jeremiah 22:20 reads, "Go up to Lebanon and cry." A prophecy of the Civil War that began April 13, 1975. And for 15 very long years, the Civil War raged in Lebanon. My first trip to Lebanon was 1977, and I saw some of this destruction back then. During the time of the Civil War, many areas were completely destroyed and many lives were lost. 1992, we moved to Lebanon with my family to pioneer the first apostolic work there. When we came to Lebanon, there was no apostolic work and no saints waiting for us. So we started going from house to house, giving home Bible studies. In the first 4 years, we taught home Bible studies to more than 150 people. Then we started services in our living room. 1999, we relocated to a larger area. And here the work of God continued to grow in Lebanon. Many people came and were baptized in Jesus' name, received the Holy Ghost. Many mighty miracles took place. We had different children, crusades, vacation, Bible school, and Holy Ghost meetings. On 9/11/2003, three Muslims received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as God gives the utterance. Now you may think that it is impossible, but there is nothing that is impossible to the Lord. There are hungry souls all around the world. And being that this church, you have been supporting our ministry for 32 years, this means that everything that you see here, you are a part of the ministry. You were a part of those men being baptized in Jesus' name, and they all three received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that began a Muslim ministry, where in the next few months, more than 20 Muslims were baptized in the precious name of Jesus. Miracles took place. We had some Muslims driving 2.5 hours to come to church Sunday morning because they heard about the miracles. Then they would go back and they would bring their friends the next Sunday morning. When we went to their area, I went into this one house. The woman got on the telephone and she started calling up her neighbors. In a few moments, her entire living room was full of people wanting prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, the world is hearing about the name of Jesus. Why? Because we sent a preacher. We sent a preacher to go and to preach the precious name of Jesus, the gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And God is doing a work. So I want to thank you for your support in our ministry all these many years. God is doing a work. 2009, we moved to downtown Jebel Biblos. Now remember, this is the oldest continuously inhabited city in the entire world. And we are the very first evangelical church ever in its entire history to have a church in downtown Jebel Biblos. There were forces that told us that if we start church, they're going to close us down by force. And these same people did the same thing to another church about 45 minutes away from us. They were able to go in and they beat up the church. They beat up the pastor, put the congregation in the hospital, destroyed the building. And I was in 2006, and that building to this day is empty. So when these people say, we're going to close you by force, it means they're going to come in, they're going to beat up the pastor, they're going to beat up the men of the church, they're going to destroy the building. So how did we get in that? If God is on our side, who in the world can be against us? We serve a mighty God, and there is nothing that is impossible to him. Yes, there are forces in this world that want to destroy us. There are forces in this world that wants to silence the church. But his kingdom is going on, and nothing is going to stop his revival. 2011, we started our school of theology, our Bible school in Lebanon. This year we had 15 students enrolled in our Bible school. At the same time that we have Bible school, we have a discipleship course that is going on. My wife teaches the discipleship. I teach the Bible school. When the people graduate from the discipleship, they go into the Bible school. People are being taught the Word of God. Apostolic literature and music. When we went to the Middle East, there was no apostolic songs. So we started taking the songs that bless us in English, and we started having them translated into the Arabic language. Hundreds of songs have been translated into the precious name of Jesus. Many songs have been translated and are being used in the church today. When we went there, there was very little apostolic literature, so we started translating literature, Sunday school, nursery level, Bible studies. Many Bible studies have been translated into Arabic. Devotional tracts have been written in the Arabic language. Tracts like Why Did God Choose Tongues and others were translated. Home fellowship, discipleship courses, 3 David Bernard booklets, 5 years of Bible school, and 3 Lee Stone King books were translated into the Arabic language. On our display table, you will see one of the Bible school books, and you will see this book of Brother Stone King's miracle of being raised from the dead. Brother Stone King was my first pastor. It was an honor to put his material into Arabic. When we translated this book, his miracle of being raised from the dead, I took the very first Arabic copy and I put it into the hands of the Mufti of our area. The Mufti is a Muslim bishop. The Muslim bishop of our area received this book placed in his hand. And I had the honor and the privilege to be able to tell him about miracles in the mighty name of Jesus. You see, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We are not there to hide what we are and who we are, but we are there to reach these souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I am of the persuasion you can tell anybody anything if you do it with respect and love. You can tell everybody, anybody, anything at all. And as we reached out, see, we have a lot in common with these people, or some in common. They believe in one God. We also believe in one God, but the difference is we know his name. His name is Jesus, and Jesus was more than just a prophet who walked 2,000 years ago, more than just a teacher that walked 2,000 years ago. He is the Ancient of Days. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Savior of the world, and there is no other. Even though we have many similarities, we also have many differences. And this means great spiritual warfare that goes on in the Middle East. And spiritual warfare is not new in the Middle East. Daniel found out about warfare, praying and fasting for 21 days. You see, Daniel had a burden for his people, and Daniel interceded for his people. He would not break his fast until he heard from God.
the 21st day, Gabriel comes to him to give him the message. And Gabriel told him, the very first day God sent me. But the prince of Persia withstood me for 21 days until Michael came to take up the battle. This shows us how powerful spiritual warfare is in the Middle East. And the spirits that are there have been there for centuries. What chance do we have? We serve the Ancient of Days. 1 John 4:4 tells us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we are not going to back down from these principalities and powers, but we are going to face them in Jesus' name. I would like for you to stand right now. I have a little bit more that I'm going to minister before I turn it back to your pastor and then preach a short message. But I need this congregation to pray with us, to intercede with us for the Middle East. God said he's going to pour out in the last days his spirit upon all flesh. That means the tribes of the Middle East are to be included in this revival. There may be many people that are afraid to go there. For 34 years we have been ministering there. Have we been in dangerous situations? Yes. I had 2 death threats and 2 actual attempts upon my life. But God is with us, and he's taking care of us, and souls are being reached with this gospel. We're going to bind together the spirits that are in this area. The main spirit is the spirit of fear, hatred, and bloodthirsty revenge. So in Jesus' name, we are going to bind these spirits, and we are going to loose the love of God, because the love of God casts out all fear. The spirit of fear and hatred is powerful, but the love of God is even greater. None of us would be saved if it wasn't for the love of God. We receive mercy because of his love. We receive grace because of his love. If it wasn't for the love, the mercy, and the grace of God, no one could be saved. And what God has extended to us here, he is extending to those across the seas. We also have idolatry in the Middle East, especially in Lebanon. There is some idolatry in Lebanon that is even greater than Rome. So together we are going to bind the spirit of idolatry and loose the spirit of truth, so that when people hear truth, their hearts and their minds will be open to listen and to understand. Let us pray together. By the authority of the name of Jesus, we bind together right now. 2,000 years ago, 30,000 workers picked up the rope and they moved a building block 830 tons and put it into its place. And then they moved the second and then the third block. This is a testimony that unity will do the impossible. Unity will move worlds. Unity will build a foundation that the world cannot shake. 2,000 years ago, those blocks were put into place. And even though there have been earthquakes in the area that have destroyed much of the building, that foundation is still there. And we are here right now to lay a foundation of the Word of God into this part of the world. So we bind in Jesus' name the spirit of fear, the spirit of hate, and the spirit of bloodthirsty revenge. I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I loose right now the love of God. Your love casts out all fear. Your love is perfect. Your love gives us your grace and your mercies. And I thank you for the mercies of God. I thank you for your grace that gives us salvation, healing, and miracles. Even this very moment, my Lord, we are here in the name of Jesus. my Lord. We walk in the flesh, but our warfare is a spiritual warfare. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And we are here to pull down the strongholds of fear, the strongholds of hatred, and the strongholds of bloodthirsty revenge. In Jesus' name, loose your love in the mighty name of Jesus. And when we come in contact with people, let them feel your love. We bind the spirit of idolatry. And we loose the spirit of truth in Jesus' name, my Lord, to pull down these strongholds. We stand in your name, and we stand in your name against these principalities and powers, because you inside of us is greater than he that is in the world. These spirits are old, but you are the Ancient of Days, my Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. For 34 years, we have been ministering in the Middle East. And the reason being because we have had churches that have partnered with our ministry. And this church is one that has been supporting us for 32 years. As we are traveling this time, one of the things we are doing is we are raising funds for special projects. If God is speaking to your heart to give a one-time offering for either our building or office equipment, see your pastor at the end of the presentation. All donations go through the local church. As we travel, we're raising partners in missions, and you have been our partner for 32 years. Everything that you see in the slide, you are a part of. Those people that were baptized and that went back to the UK, went back to the Philippines, and back to Sri Lanka and other countries, you are a part of this ministry. God is doing great things. As we travel, we're looking for people willing to come to spend 3 months, 6 months, 9 months working in the Middle East. We're looking for a few good men. I stole that from the Marines because, you know, we're kind of like the spiritual Marines of the UPC, so I just borrowed it. I hope they don't mind. But God is doing a work. God is doing things, and if you would like to be a part of this revival, let us remember when we invest in souls, we are investing in eternity. At this time, I'm going to turn the microphone, the pulpit over to your pastor, and after that, I will be speaking on a short sermon. We're going to have an altar call. We're going to pray people through to the Holy Ghost. We're going to see miracles here today.
Thank you, brother.
Ushers could come at this time. We've supported them for 32 years. Go ahead, come on down, brother. And, I know our missionaries don't get pay raises like the rest of us do sometimes. It's up to us. So I'd like to increase our monthly pledge towards them. But also just in sharing, talking before the service, they have a little bit different deputation period that a lot of our missionaries have. We have a lot of our missionaries that come and they may be here for a year and such, but due to visa restrictions and such, they have 6 months to raise their budget. And I want to help them out on that. How many would like to help them out this morning on that? Now, if you're not prepared to give this morning, or you're not for sure what you would like to give, you know, this is something that if you don't have the funds immediately, but you'd like to take and give, that we will take and pass this on as the funds come in. But they're looking, their biggest needs right now is their building and then also office equipment. And he was praising our office equipment and happy of our new sound system we recently put in and how nice it would be So I'd like to see us take and assist them in these areas. So what we're going to do, we're just going to pray, and then we're going to have our ushers pass the offering around. And they will be here again tonight. They'll be speaking in our African International Service this afternoon. So they have a very busy schedule here today. And if you're not ready this morning, you can talk this over with your family, and you can certainly put something in the offering tonight. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for our brothers and our sisters, Lord, in Lebanon. Such a beautiful place. Such a place of inner turmoil, inner strife in the hearts and the souls of humanity. Lord, I pray, God, a special protection, a hedge of protection around not just our missionaries, brothers and sisters, Starrett, but our brothers and sisters, Lord, that live in this environment every day, trying to raise their families in a godly way with all of the external pressure and bitterness and hatred that has been going on, Lord, for generations after generation after generation. I pray, God, that we would be able to take and bless them today, not just brother and sister Starrett, Lord, but bless our brothers and sisters in Lebanon. I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon this day, upon this service, upon our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. If our ushers can go ahead and just continue to take up the offering, and just to save a few moments here, you're welcome to come on back, brother, and you can start into your message and preach to us this morning. God bless you.
Amen. We can go back to my presentation. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Let us stand for a moment right now. I'll be reading just one verse that we will be standing for. My message is the calling of the bee, the calling of the church. You're looking to right now the calling of the bee. In Isaiah 7:18 in the English Standard Version, it reads, "In that day the Lord will whistle for the fly that is at the end of the streams of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria." Let us pray. My Lord, you are mighty, O Lord, and I thank you for your holy word. And we pray right now, my Lord, that you will open up our minds and our hearts, O Lord, to hear what you have for us this morning, my Lord. I thank you, my Lord, for your anointing. I thank you, Lord, for salvation. I thank you, Lord, for the gospel of peace. I thank you, my Lord, for your precious word that has been preserved for so many years. It is not only placed in our hands, but it is in our hearts, so that we will not sin against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Right now, let us consider the plight of the bee. This is a picture of a bumblebee, and the bumblebee has been the discussion for many years of scientists. In 1930, there were two German scientists. One was a prominent aerodynamics, the other was a biologist, and they were discussing the flight of the bumblebee. And they took out some paper and a pen, and they started writing, and they started doing the math. The dimensions of the wings, the dimensions of the body, the weight of the body, the small wings, and they came to the conclusion that the bumblebee cannot fly. Then in 1934, a prominent French scientist who studies insects, Antoine Magnet, he also did a study about the bumblebee. He wrote many articles and books, and he was writing an article about insects and about the bumblebee, and he also did all the math and comes to the conclusion that the bumblebee cannot fly. But there's a problem. The bumblebee does not know German or French. But because he does not know German or French, he doesn't listen to the naysayers, and he simply flies away.
But even though these were prominent scientists that were doing this, they did not go by the rules of science. The rules for science is, number one, you define the problem. And they defined their problem. Number two, you research the problem. And they took out paper and pencil and they did the math and they researched the problem. Number three, you develop your hypothesis. And when they developed their hypothesis, it came to the conclusion that the bee cannot fly. But number four, you're supposed to make controlled experiments. Controlled experiments where you observe. Then you verify, and then you repeat. And when you do your observation, you see the bee flying. When you do your verification to have another scientist to observe the same thing, you verify. And then when you see the bee flying a second time, it is repeated. So then you come to the conclusion that the bumblebee can fly. It can fly, even though the math tells us that it cannot fly. Even though theologians or scientists tell us that their educated guess is that the bee cannot fly. But you see, the bee, even though it is small, it has a purpose and a calling from God. And their calling from God and their purpose from their creator is to fly and to go from flower to flower. One third of everything we eat comes from pollination. So if you were to take all the pollinators away from this world, you would also take away one third of everything that we eat. One third will be taken away. Because the bee goes from flower to flower, it keeps flowers alive. And if you had no pollinators, flowers would only last one season and they would be there no more. So you see, the bee has a calling. It gives us food. The bee has a calling. It brings beauty into the world. Even though the bee is so very small, but it knows its calling. The Creator put something in the bee that you have to fly, and you go from flower to flower. It does not matter what the naysayers say. You have a calling. The church has a calling. This is our furlough replacement, Brother Dewey, who's in Lebanon today, who has been pastoring the work. And we had in 2 weeks, we had three souls water baptized in Jesus' name. One received the Holy Ghost. Why? Because somebody had a calling and they left Manitoba, Canada. He brought his family. He came to Lebanon. And because of his calling, because he is fulfilling the calling that God gave to him, souls are being saved. When we look into the scriptures, afterwards he, meaning Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus said, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. You see, when the apostles picked up the rope and they started pulling, God went before them. God stood behind them. God was to their right and to their left. And as they prayed, preach the word of God, God was there to confirm the preaching with miracles that follow. I'm so glad that I went and God went with me. Because in 1992, when I went to Lebanon, somebody put poison in the coffee that they served me, not knowing it was there. I drank the coffee, and in a short time, my chest started to swell to the place I could barely breathe. You're wondering what happened? I didn't die, just to let you know. I didn't die, okay? But 6,000 miles away in my home church in Schenectady, New York, God told the man in the church that I was poisoned. He got on his knees and God healed me 6,000 miles away. That is the church that I belong to. That is my church. This is where we are. We are a mighty force. We are a mighty force in the world. The devil wants to take us out, but he can't do it. Because we are a united church who's interceding. We are a united church that hears the voice of God. And when God speaks, we operate and miracles take place. We've been to countries. When we were in Cyprus, we were friends with different missionaries and had opportunities to witness and to preach to them. Some of these missionaries were from churches that believed that tongues is not for today and miracles are not for today. So they do not pray for miracles because they believe it's not for today. But these same people, when they're sick, they call us up to come to their house. And here's what they tell us. Whatever you do in church, speak in tongues, I don't care. Just pray for me. There are many people that don't believe in tongues or miracles. But let's take an experiment. Has anyone ever spoken in tongues one time? Okay. Has anyone ever heard you speaking in tongues? It's been verified. Have you ever spoken in tongues a second time? It's been repeated. Scientifically, tongues is for today. When we do the research, it's in the Bible where Jesus said, in my name, cast out devils. In my name, speak with new tongues. In my name, lay hands upon the sick. It's in our manual. We have observed it. We have verified it. And it's been repeated. Has anyone ever received a miracle? Has anyone ever witnessed that miracle? Has anyone ever had a second miracle? Scientifically, miracles are for today. God has called us to go and to lay hands on the sick and to pray in Jesus' name. 1990, I was invited to go to Romania to preach. We had no oneness churches in Romania at that time, but this one church, it was Pentecostal, but not oneness, invited me to come and to preach. And God told me to go and to preach on miracles. So I preached on miracles in every place we went. We laid hands upon the sick, and the sick were being healed. In this church here, a woman that was blind, instantly healed by the power of God. A man with a deaf ear instantly healed by the power of God. People healed of cancer when they were prayed for. People saw visions of lightning coming upon their heads as they were being prayed for. Why? Because God called us to go and lay hands on the sick. 1989, when we were in Cyprus, this little girl, Amanda, was only 4 years old. When she was 2 years old, the doctor diagnosed her as having dislocated hips. In 2 years, multiple surgeries. Doctors came from London to Cyprus. They gave x-rays and they told the parents, you need to bring your daughter for another operation. But we need to tell you there's a 50% chance she will be paralyzed from the operation. But if we do not operate now, she'll be paralyzed in 6 months. When we operate, we're going to cut through a certain area. When she is older, she will not be able to have children. Before going to London, the parents asked us to come and to pray for their daughter. We went into their apartment, and they had about 20 people there. We read scriptures on divine healing. When we were done, we took Amanda, placed her in her father's lap, and prayed in Jesus' name. This girl was in constant pain, but she told her mother that night, "Mommy, when they prayed for me, the pain left me." 1 week later, they went to London. The same doctors, they took new x-rays, and they said, "Take your child back to Cyprus because a greater physician than we has already operated on your child." Who is the great physician? Who is the balm of Gilead? Today, Amanda's in her 30s. She's walking, and she had children today. Because when my surgeon performs surgery, it's perfect in everything that he does. From this, we gave Bible studies in their apartment. 7 souls were water baptized in Jesus' name. 1 woman was healed of 7 phobias when she was baptized. 1 man was healed of cancer. Another woman of an injured neck. I know there's naysayers out there that say miracles are not for today. I'm so glad scientifically we know that miracles are for today. We need to understand that the world needs us. This is at a youth congress here in North America. They went out, they prayed for the 10 commandments because, you see, here in the United States, there's elements that want to tear down morality. We're going to pray. We're going to go to the streets. We are going to evangelize. We have a calling. And the calling that we have is going to be accomplished. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Jesus said, "In my name. In his name we heal the sick, we cleanse the leper, we raise the dead, we cast out devils. Freely we have received, freely we give." We need to understand the world needs us. These are photographs of churches in North Syria that have been destroyed, that have been blown up in the past few years, because there is an element that wants to wipe Christianity out of the Middle East. They want to wipe it out of Europe. They want to wipe it out of the United States of America, of North America, Central America, South America. But the devil is not going to have his way, because we're going to have revival. Churches are being persecuted in Europe. These are churches in Europe. Used to be great cathedrals. Today they're empty. Beautiful cathedrals where they put all the resources, all their money and everything into the building, and they neglected the people. And these churches, these magnificent cathedrals, are empty today. Once they were full of people, but today they are empty. The world needs the church. Let us stand. The words of Jesus. Then he said unto them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers into his harvest." We have a calling. We have a purpose. What God has done for us needs to be done in the entire world. When I came to church, I came on crutches. I left carrying the crutches. God healed my leg. He delivered me from drugs and alcohol. He turned my life completely around. And I cannot keep quiet what God has done for me. But it's not just the preachers that have a calling. It's not just the preachers that need to go to the streets and to witness and to testify. It's not just the preachers that need to go out and lay hands upon the sick, where the Bible tells us these signs follow them that believe. In Jesus' name, I'm going to open up the altars right now. We're going to pray.
The harvest of Madison is great. We need laborers. And I will tell you, when we pray this way, the laborers that God sends to the streets is us. Sometimes we ask, Lord, where are you? When we go through trials and tribulations, and the Lord says, where are you? Are you dedicated? Are you praying? Have you yielded your entire self to me and to my will? Let us pray right now, and I open up the altars if you need prayer. If God is speaking to you and giving you a calling, maybe to teach a Bible study, a home Bible study, maybe to teach Sunday school, maybe to testify to a neighbor, a co-worker, a fellow student. God is calling laborers into the field. The harvest is great and time is short. Here we are. Here we are. We have a calling. We have a purpose. My calling is to go here to Lebanon. That's where God has called me. We have needs. But just as much as we have needs, you have needs right now. And let us take our needs to the Lord. Let us come right now and commit ourselves. We are here for revival. Revival begins when the church, the entire church, is on fire. When the church is here to say, here I am, Lord, send me to Madison. Send me to the lost and the dying that are here around me.